people and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
All right, here you are. We just skipped a commercial. Let me go back one. March 19 at Gulfstream Park, the grade $250,000 inside information stakes was won by Hilda's Passion. That's a four-year-old filly by Canadian Frontier, bred by Ted and Betsy Custer, our neighbors down in Bourbon County. Hilda's Passion set a new track record in the inside information, 7 furlongs and 122 after putting down fractions of 22, 44 and 1, and 107 and 4. She won as she pleased by widening 5 1/4 lengths. She went to the inside information off a score in the Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie Stakes at Gulfstream and earlier victories in the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland and the Bennington Stakes at Saratoga. Her next start is scheduled to be the Grade 1 Humana Distaff on May 7 at Churchill. If she wins that, she will be the second Grade 1 Stakes winner by Canadian Frontier. Is No Such Word won 5 stakes at 3 last year, 3 graded, including the Grade 1 Gazelle in New York. And by the way, that 120 and 27 furlongs Hilda and Passions ran in the Inside Information Stakes broke the old track record held by Big Drama, winner of the Eclipse Award as champion sprinter in 2010. Canadian Frontier, a good-looking graded stakes winner by Gone West, stands for 3,500 live foal with some very interesting breeders' incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdreestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Well, Jackie, I guess we can start right on in now.
All righty.
And we're here at the Thoroughbred Center at the Clocker Stand. And a cold,
freezing,
cold, chilly day. Everybody came inside up here today. We had
I bet.
Golly, we must have had 7 or 8 people in here at one time. Maybe
it's
more.
It's not a very big room.
No, it's not.
But it's friendly.
Big as a, you know, 2-seater privy. But anyway, about that size. But we've had a great week out here, incidentally, since the last week's show. We've had 14 winners come out of the Thoroughbred Center here, and they were saddled by Sherman Mitchell, Floyd Cobb, David Atkins, Steve Casey, Amelia Foyon, Oscar Modica, Tommy Short, Brenda Hill, Jimmy Cargan, Kathleen Huff, Mike Cameron, William F. Hamilton, Tommy Short, and Brian Michael. So
that's excellent.
That's 46 winners during the month of March so far. So 46,
that's amazing.
46 winners in 26 days, so that's pretty good.
That's great. That's like the Cats winning last night.
I about fainted when I woke up this morning. Of course,
we couldn't watch it. We have to go to bed early.
Well, you know,
we have to get up early.
The clique that I run around with is either they all get up at 4:30 in the morning or they're too old to stay up.
That's exactly.
I fit in both categories. So,
the double.
Yeah. So anyway, well, what are we going to do today? Walt Robinson's going to stop by at about 11. Walt is vice president of sales at Keeneland. Of course, he was formerly with Fasig Tipton Company for God only knows how long. And auctioneer extraordinaire. I wonder if he's going to continue to be the auctioneer over, if he's going to pitch in and help Ryan over there, but Ryan Mahon.
Bet not. But I want you to ask him how the Farm Bureau sale went last week.
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, he was one of them.
Tom Biederman was out there. Saw Tom yesterday, by the way. I was coming out of the post office and he swerved over and ran over me. He probably
you don't know any
purpose.
Money, do you?
No, not yet. Michael Blown will be here from old friends. Dr. Doug Byers will be into the vet segment. Steve Moody, hope we have a little better luck getting him than we did last week.
Oh, yeah. He kept getting run over by commercials or something.
Yeah. They're running the Spiral Stakes, the Vinery Racing Spiral Stakes now. Vinery sponsoring it. That's very nice of them to do that. If we have a chance, we'll look at Misty Flight, who was a 2-year-old in 1957, Kentucky Pride, who was, they thought at the time that he was going to be Calumet's Derby horse that year, but he wasn't. Didn't work out for him. He was windy. And never did get over it. He won a bunch of races, 7 or 8 races.
Amazing. You know, Lisa Malloy from New Vocations Racetrack Horse Adoption. is going to be at Turfway today.
Oh,
they have
she?
A booth, yeah. Just kind of.
Those in your announcements?
No, I just thought of it.
Oh, okay. You want to start on your announcements until Doc and Michael get here?
Sure, I can.
They'll come thundering in here any second.
Okay, I got a big notice yesterday of all the stuff that's going on at the horse park. Today is, they started that with April the 1st, and that's not too good because there's stuff going on before. This weekend. Ah, yes. This weekend is the Paul Frazier show, and it's CKRH, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope affiliate. So if you know anybody that just kids or something wants to go out there, also today it's Mid-South Games. That's Pony Club, Mid-South Pony Club. So they're going to be out there freezing their little selves, aren't they? And we hope they wore extra socks under their boots. March 28th and 30th, that's coming right, that's indoor polo. And the 31st through April 3rd is the Bluegrass Classic Arabian Horse Show. Let's see what else is coming on. Rolex, of course, is April 28th through May 1st. Intercollegiate Horse Show Association National Championships, May 5th through the 8th. And, of course, High Hope is back. High Hope was on hiatus last year because of the World Games. So May 22nd, High Hope Steeplechase. I hope they have good weather. That's how that thing swings. If it's beautiful weather, pack them in. But, of course, you know, a lot of it benefits the Horse Park Foundation and Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, those sort of things. And a lot of the pre-sale stuff, they sell tents and they sell parking and all that kind of stuff. But it's just not much fun. You know, anyway, there's some hardy types that go. So, all right, the Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week is Anna. Oh, this is a nice thing. Look here. This is a 10-year-old quarter horse chestnut mare. She's 14 hands. This is a great little sturdy trail horse.
Oh, okay.
Look at her. That's nice. They don't come up that often. So you kind of want to pay attention. She was a trail horse, and they turned her in, that economy being what it is. They just had to turn her in. She's sound, and she's fine. But, boy, if you're looking for a nice, dependable-looking packer, here's one. Her name's Anna, and she's at the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. Go to kyehc.org and check it out. Did I hear the door?
Yeah, shut the door. It's cold out there.
The door opened, and in they came. Oh well, okay. You wanna do this, and then talk to them, and it gets the rest of me in a bit.
Yes, boss.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Michael Blowen and Dr. Doug Byers are here.
All righty. Well, I'll go ahead and do some.
Add a little smarts to the show. How's that?
I'd have to get up and leave.
Well, I said add too. I didn't mean subtract you.
Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade II $300,000 Rebel Stakes was won by The Factor, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Warfront. The Factor completely dominated the field in the Rebel by, as the old-timers say, going to the front and improving his position. In his first start around two turns, he won as he pleased by widening 6 1/4 lengths. Prior to the Rebel, he had won a maiden special by 6 furlongs in record time of 106-4 in the Grade II San Vicente, and he was listed number 8 on Daily Racing Form's top 20 Derby Watch list. And I just checked that again this morning, and he's now up to number 2. Number 2 on the list at that time was Sold At. He's dropped down a notch, winner of the Grade II Fountain of Youth. And looming in the background is Great Mills, winner of 3 of his 4 starts, including the Grindstone Stakes at the Fairgrounds on March 12th. The Factor is Sold At, Great Mills, 3 Kentucky Derby candidates from the first crop by Warfront. Now, Warfront is by the Great Danzig, and he gives every indication of being a chip off the old block. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sims, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time,
Many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Broken Valor sired two champions. The multiple Grade 1 stakes went of over $1,900,000. The Grade 1 stakes went of over $724,000. And the winners of graded stakes at Saratoga and Keeneland and Delaware, at Belmont Park, Churchill Downs, Gulfstream Park, Woodbine, Aqueduct, Laurel, Hollywood Park. So they compete with the best wherever they're asked to run. He has sired 33 stakes winners and over 70 stakes horses. He was the sire of 10 2010 stakes winners. And it's a fact that a remarkable 16% of his runners win a place in stakes. He also sires 75% winners, the highest winning percentage among all sons of sires unbridled. Broken Vow stands for $25,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Grade 1 stakes winner Bob and John, a winner of over $996,000, is by seeking the goal out of the greatest stakes winner Minister's Melody. He stands for 8,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal is a multiple greatest stakes winner by Giant's Causeway that earned more than $1 million. His first foals are this year, and he stands for 7,500 live foal. And Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic by Nijinsky II has sired 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses. He stands for $10,000 live foal. Inquiries at Clifford Berry at Pin Oak Stud. See the website, pinoakstud.com. All right, well, I have Michael Boyle with me here now, in from old friends, and my good friend Dr. Doug Byers. Michael, we'll go to you first, and how are you this morning?
Well, not bad, Ursula. We lost the Wicked North this week. That was pretty bad.
I had heard that.
But he had the same thing that Jade Hunter had. He had one of those lipomas that Doug will describe later. Or he could describe it now, but it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah. Well, I'll chime in on that real quickly. I think we said something about Jade Hunters, but a lipoma is a relatively common fat tumor that gets in the bodies of older horses. When I say older horses, let's say 14 and above, can get a lipoma, but when they get 18, 19, 20, they get higher risk. And it's not a real common thing, but it, in an older horse that starts to colic on you, this fat globule hangs on a stalk. So it's kind of like an Argentine bolo. It gets itself wrapped around and cinches down on that bowel.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you find them, it's cut the circulation off to that piece of bowel so much that a lot of times it can't. You can unwrap it and remove the tumor, but the bowel is so bad.
Yeah.
So
damaged.
That's what happens. But it an older horse that just suddenly colics, it would cross your mind that this might not. Well, you know, the older horse is not a good surgical risk anyway. But
yeah.
The more common, specifically to older horses, would be a lipoma.
How you pronounce it?
Lipoma.
Okay. Now you got blowing. So coming up with these big words now. That's two of you. No, that puts me in the spot.
Well,
I hate to be in the minority over right here.
Well, oma means a benign tumor. Sarcoma means it's a metastatic tumor. It's not benign.
That's what I always call it, metastatic tumor.
Yeah.
He's getting good, isn't he?
The lipoma means lipid, means fat. Oma means tumor.
Okay.
All
there
right,
you go.
So
did you get
now
that down, Bowen?
I'm writing it right here next to this ad for Hollywood Park.
Well, hell, I hope you can spell it, because I can't. All right. Oh, well,
but
I'm
he was a great horse. He's a great
kind of
retiree.
There,
yeah, he was. Kent DeSormo was heartbroken. I mean, Kent used to come see him all the time. But curiously enough, a week ago, we made arrangements to eventually have afternoon delights at the farm. Mm-hmm. And afternoon delights in his entire career only had one jockey, and that was DeSormo. So,
wow. So did you tell DeSormo that he
yes,
was coming in?
Yes. He's very excited. He told me that afternoon delights probably wasn't the best horse he ever rode, but he's definitely the fastest.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. He'll be coming in. Julian Le Perreux is coming over to see Ball Four as soon as he gets back to Kentucky. So it's going to be quite interesting in next year. But I have to tell you this great story. Well, I'll let the audience be the judge whether it's a great story or not, but I think it's pretty good.
Speak up, audience.
Yeah.
They're both, they're both listening.
He's pretty safe with a one-way transmission, isn't he?
Yeah, right. I know Diane's listening somewhere. We had these wonderful students that come every year from Ohio State during their spring break to work at All Friends. Hey, they lost the game. Be quiet. Why don't you be a sore winner, huh? Gee whiz. Anyway, without any regard to the athletic team, they come every year and they clean up and they do the yard and they just, you know, clean up the place and we take them around to some of the different farms. Well, they'd never been to a racetrack. So yesterday afternoon, I said, come on, let's go. We all pile, they all pile into the van. Off we go to Keeneland to the simulcast. Wow, this is great. Well, one of the kids is really into it already. He's never seen a program before or racing for him. Now he's really into it. Now he's saying to me, hey, look, this horse, you know, beat this other horse, you know, 3 years ago or something. I'm going, wow, this kid Brian's pretty good. He's a political science major. Watch out for him. Anyway, so we go through the form, and I tell him, I said, there's a great bet called the 10-cent superfecta. So I said, I want each to give me 50 cents. So each gave me 50 cents. We had $6. We bet a $5.80, 10-cent superfecta. I kept the 20 cents as a, you know, kind of a
commission.
Exactly. And we hit the 10-cent super. It paid $286. Now, you want to know how to promote this sport? That's all you have to do. We got 12 people who had never been to the track before, and they say, when does it close? When we came back, you know? We all went to the concession stand. I gave them all $10. We all went to the concession stand and ate and had Cokes and everything. And they had a ball.
I've got a feeling we wouldn't have heard that story if we hadn't won, you know?
Yeah, probably not. Well, there's so many of those stories, it'd take too long.
Well, college students are going to worry about that 50 cents that they had to put up.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, now, Doug, you're talking about your days.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was really nice. And I have to thank Ed DeRosa. Ed DeRosa really wrote a really nice thing about Old Friends and on his blog today in the Thoroughbred Times. So that was very nice. And
I'll have to check that.
Ball Four is doing good.
Okay.
Jim Bouton's ready to come. Pitcher for the Yankees.
He's not coming until doing the meet. Right?
Yeah, yeah, April 14th, 15th, and 16th. Okay, Jim Bouton is a former pitcher for the New York Yankees who won a World Series game and pitched really, really well, but he's probably most famous for writing a book called Ball Four.
Do you have that book?
Yes, sir.
Can I borrow it?
Yeah.
I'd mm-hmm. like to, if you're going to bring him over here, I'd like to know a little something about the guy. You know?
Yeah.
Are you going to bring him over here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to take my place.
I saw a shade of doubt.
No, I was just trying to think of the timing because he's got to go in. He's got to be at Keeneland at 8 o'clock in the morning for our works to meet the horse and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll probably
are we going to be at Keeneland then?
No.
Oh, see, you make it difficult for everybody.
Not for me.
All right.
It's easy to do it right here.
But you, yes. But anyway, we have to be over at Keeneland for the works that morning with Ball Four and Jim Bouton.
Okay.
But he's a pitcher for the Yankees. Ball Four was chosen to be one of the 100 most influential books of the 20th century by the New York Public Library.
Yeah, I'd still like to
borrow. Oh, it's a good book, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. And so anybody wants a tour, we got them. We're open and for business. It's starting to pick up a lot now. Now it's the springs here,
It is out here, too.
Yeah, you can really notice a huge difference. So come on out and visit us, and if anybody's got any extra hay left over, we still need a few more round bales to see us through the end of the season.
Well, look at all the grass we've got out here now.
I know. We just need a couple more round bales.
What did I tell you that time? It's horses to the acre.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing all right.
Should be acres to the horse.
Yeah? Hey, we're not overpopulated.
Okay.
They're all doing good. We have now that we have a little spot over at Dr. Byers opening up.
Oh, yeah, I was
That's where Ball Four is.
Yeah, I was over at Doc's the other day. I'm going to talk to him about that. I love your house, Doc.
Do you see the Ursel Michael Doug beer deck?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're ready to rock and roll now. Yeah.
Would you screen it in so we can sit out there without chasing flies?
We'll wear our shirts. Beer store shirts.
Okay. I've Doug bought me a beer store shirt in last weekend.
I know, I saw it.
I wore it to the Y. Yeah, the Young Men's Christian Association.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. So I had my beer shirt on. I saw a few raised eyebrows, and you know, but anyway.
They're expecting you to come back next week with a case.
Yeah, of what? Right. All righty.
Well, thank you so much, Ursula. And if anybody would like to come out, let me give the phone number again. It's Old Friends, 502-863-1775. Barbara is there, and Beth is there, and they're ready to take you around and show you some really nice racehorses.
Mm-hmm. There have been tours picking up out here, too. Yeah. I took some of your brochures over, by the way, that you left here.
Oh, thanks.
Put them in the... I've got some here still, but... Took them over to the office over there.
Great.
So, chase them over to you.
Thanks, Ursula.
All right. Well, grade one stakes winner First Defense and Mizzenmast and a Judmont Farm. First foals by First Defense of yearlings. Mizzenmast is a proven sire of grade one stakes winners, and a two-year-old colt by Mizzenmast was sold for $350,000 at the recent OBS sale. Buzz Chase brought him as agent for Richard Santilli. Now, Mizzenmast is the sire of Mass Track, a grade one stakes winner and track record breaker of over 928,000. He's a sire of Midshifts, a grade one stakes winner of over 528,000. In 2010, he was the sire of 8 stakes winners plus 5 others that placed in stakes. He sired major stakes winners on dirt, grass, artificial, and in 4 countries, France, Japan, Italy, and of course the USA. Mizzenmast won grade one stakes sprinting on dirt. He's the son of leading sire Cozine, with a pedigree that offers an outcross to Stormcat and Mr. Prospector Lion Mare. Stands for 12,500 live foal. First Defense is one of 10 grade one stakes winners by Unbridled Song. He's out of grade one stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. His 2011 stud fee is 7,500 live foal. Now watch for his first crop yearlings at the major sales. And for grade one performance, take a close look at the Mizzenmast and First Defense yearlings and the sales. Now, inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Dop, I'm going to let you help me on this. Went over to your farm and met Carl Lumley the other day, who's building your house over there, and I was very impressed with the... First of all, it's going to be beautiful, and it's pretty near through.
And it's a small house, pretty simple, but Carl's doing a great job. He's got a great crew.
Yeah.
And he's stayed pretty much with schedule.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. He's, Carl is the guy that we just met, and he's a builder, been in the business for about 10 years now, and he's building this house for Doug over here. Cedar Springs, that the name of your farm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cedar Springs.
Yeah.
And over on Ironworks Pike, and I was very impressed with it, with the workmanship in it, and the decoration and everything, and you got a beer deck out there for us?
We're set.
He even showed us an attic room. He says that that's where Susan's going to send you to sleep up there when you're naughty.
I'm just permanent. I'm a permanent resident up there.
Oh, yeah. How did you pick Carl to be? You know?
I've known Carl for several years. He's a horseman. Mm-hmm. And when we got our bids going, Carl got very competitive with the bids, mm-hmm. but I knew his workmanship and his work ethic. His work ethic is the main thing, you know. And so I kind of just, after we looked at the bids and everything else, and Susan and I said, well, we'll go with Carl.
Well, good.
So, and we wanted to go with Carl. I mean, so we're glad things worked out the way they have.
Well, he's done work for people like Brookdale Farm, you know, the Seitz family down there.
Right.
Denali Stud.
Yeah.
I know he did work for Sarah Hamilton, who's a neighbor of ours out there, that a tornado tore down her barn, and he put a new barn up for Sarah.
Yep.
And she was tickled to death with it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's impressive about him. He gives you a bid, and he sticks to it. And some of these builders will come in and give you a low, low bid, and then get two-thirds of the way through building and say, well, I've got to have some more money. I can't finish it, you know.
Well, I think Carl has integrity along with his work ethic.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how to get in touch with him. He doesn't have a website yet. I fussed at him about that.
No.
But I'm going to give you a phone number. It's an 859 number. It's 333-7914. And he'll give you a competitive bid, and he'll build anything. He'll build you a house or a barn or a run-in shed, or he does additions to houses. He'll do repairs, build you an outhouse. Won't give you the path, but he'll give whatever you need. He'll take care of it. And I think he's got what is his? It's Lumley, Lumley Enterprises at yahoo.com is his website. That's not his website. That's his email. Lumley, Lumley Enterprises at yahoo.com. And I tell you what, if you don't remember the phone number, call me down in Bourbon County and I'll put you in touch with him. He seems like he's a new advertiser here, and we appreciate his business. Well, let me see what that was about a 5 minute in commercial, wasn't it? Tis de Jouvu won the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 3 American Turf Stakes, the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup, and the opening Verse Stakes at Churchill Downs, where he was virtually unbeatable. And he won them with a front-running Catch Me If You Can style of running that was a delight to watch. He also won the Grade 3 American Derby at Arlington Park, and he placed in the Grade 1 Secretariat, led all the way in that way, and then ran third, also at Arlington, after setting all the early pace. At career's end, he had started 16 times, had won 8, was in the money 13 times, and had earned $700,000. Tis de Jouvu is by Tisnow, the only two-time winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Hall of Famer Tisnow was the sire of 12 stakes winners and earners of more than $6,156,000 last year to rank once again among the nation's leading sires. A game, consistent runner with a beautiful way of moving. He was a catch-me-if-you-can kind of runner. Tis de Jouvu is standing his first season of stud this year for $5,000 live foal. There are, however, some breeding incentives available. If you'll just contact Pope McLean over at Crestwood Farm, they'll let you know what they are. Tis de Jouvu. Inquiries to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Run it by me one more time.
Alrighty, I'm going to talk to Dr. Doug Beyer here and see what our subject is. Now, you've already talked about, I've already forgotten how to pronounce that, so to hell with it.
Lipoma.
Oh, yes. Mr. Know-it-all
Michael's
over there.
Getting cockered.
Isn't he, though? He's probably got
it. He's teaching me how to let chickens out of a house today. That's one of those things we learned this morning.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You have chickens in your house?
No, he has a chicken house on his farm.
Oh.
You didn't get that far. You just got to the beer garden. You didn't get to the chicken house.
Michael wants to steal the eggs. He's like a fox.
They provide the eggs for the bed and breakfast.
Oh.
Fresh eggs.
Yeah. Your little pond down there, is there any fish in there?
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Might have to stagger down from the beer garden, catch a fish, and get an egg. We'll be all set then.
That's it's very attractive, but it's going to be a nice view there.
Yeah, it's a nice pond. You know, it's got the rock wall.
Yeah.
Right. So it's shallow. There's an old ice house up by the farmhouse. So it's a very historical old farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long have you had that place, Doc?
Since 91.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's not a big farm. We started off with 44 acres, and then we added another 31. So
that's big when you go to mow it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
David, thank you.
Thank you, Arthur.
David came in and helped me clock there.
Very nice.
He's a stall man here. David is. Go ahead, Doc.
Oh, anyway, it's an interesting farm.
It's a great
nice place. Yeah, and where we drink all the beer at, we'll get that good view.
Okay.
Exactly right. He'll rent you a fishing pole for $5.
Yeah.
Bring your own bait.
I'll drag you. How about that?
I'm sure I'd be very attractive.
I'll troll you for alligators. Go ahead.
Well, I thought we'd talk about a simple word that gets pretty complicated, and we'll just talk about shock.
Okay.
You know, what is shock?
So I've been in it, so go ahead.
Yeah. it basically means two organs are not getting what they need to have. And that's the heart. That'd be a cardiovascular shock or a circulatory shock. or the brain. Mm-hmm. And that can be the consequence of circulatory or cardiovascular shock as well, with the brain not getting enough blood supply. And anything that doesn't get blood supply, we use a big word called ischemia, which is reduced blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have a cardiac origin shock. So this horse is going out there, and he drops like a thud. He gets up, disoriented. He gets over it. Well, there are some of them don't get up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've talked about collapse in racehorses before, but if you send them a necropsy, 40% of them won't find anything. Kind of like with Swale. You know, they did find one little area in Swale's heart, but they couldn't ever conclusively say that's what caused it, because a lot of horses that don't die of a cardiac event, you might find little things in that heart anyway.
They were just giving him a bath at the time.
Yeah. They just brought him back from the track.
Yeah.
So, but that would still be a shock or a cardiac event. So
yeah.
Something went wrong. Mm. And so you could say, well, if it's the plumbing that keeps moving things into your circulation at a proper rate, you got to remember part of your circulation, the heart has its own circulation, which is what you've had to deal with, where, you know, or people that get coronary arteries get plugged up. You know, you didn't have that, but I mean, they get plugged up, so then the heart doesn't.
Something got plugged up. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But they unplugged me.
Well, we said brain.
Both sides, so I'll go even, you know.
Yeah, we said brain or heart, so.
Anyway.
Ooh.
Tough crowd.
Tough crowd.
So that system shuts down or fails. And so you can have cardiac origin, or circulatory origin basically means your blood vessels leak. So if you take endotoxins or toxic shock, then they attack the lining of the blood vessels and the fluid goes out, and suddenly you've got the red cells don't go out, but the blood will sludge and you become ischemic that way. So horses, they get colitis, where they get dehydrated very, very rapidly. That's a circulatory shock. And that's from the vessels, and then the vessels don't deliver enough to the heart, and eventually you wind up with a cardiac shock, and then if the heart is not pumped back to the brain, then you wind up with a brain ischemia. So it's kind of a vicious cycle they get into. We all recognize hemorrhagic shock. This mare's bleeding, and she can only take so much, and then she's going to go down. So that's where something ruptures and you lose the circulation because of the hemorrhagic event. You can have an electrical shock, which is the heart requires electrical conductors, and if there's something wrong with that and you've got a horse that has an arrhythmia to the heart, then you go stress him and he may have an acute event like a heart block or fibrillation or something that is a consequence of that. Part of that system is the electrolytes. So we know that if this horse does get up and he's staggering around, let's get a blood sample to see if it was calcium-oriented, potassium-oriented. Those things block, potassium will block the nerves. So if you get too high of potassium, and of course we recognize condition in the quarter horses called HYPP, or the hyperkalemic syndrome, which is genetic in them. Their potassium goes so high they get a heart block and they start to shake, quiver, look like they're having a seizure, and then they go down. And they slowly recover and they get back up to their feet. But you'd pull that blood and you'd see if the potassium was out of whack. And sometimes those horses will get high as 8, 10, 12 milligram percent potassium. So that's an electrical event. Sugars, we know diabetic people can collapse from because the sugars work to feed those electrolytes across the membrane. So have to have energy to pump those electrolytes normally. So sometimes hypoglycemic shock is another one. And that's simple enough in diabetic people. They know they better grab an orange or do something to get sugars in there right away. So symptomatically, if a horse went down and got back up, veterinarian pull a blood sample, and he'd probably run some calcium gluconate, which has got gluconate, which is glucose, to carry those electrolytes in there, and that'd be a typical shock type treatment. And again, if the horse goes down as a single event, your chances of figuring it out are not great, but I said about 40% won't get figured out. But you just go with your best shot. If they start to have repeat episodes, in other words, they did it once a month ago and now they've done it again, there's something really cooking, and then you really have to get some specific answers, and sometimes you put them on the treadmill or do some other things like that. So the last one that we talk about is blood clots. People have strokes, and that's thrombotic shock. And if you come up with something like that, suppose a horse got a bad jugular vein, and he got it infected or something got outside the vein during an injection, and you take him out to the track, and he collapses. Well, he might have broke off an emboli that went to the brain, just like a person. And then if he gets back up to his feet, and you know that's what's going on, then you're going to treat him with anticoagulants and lots of rest, and he'll probably remodel that thing in about 30 days. So he can come around. So there are different kinds of shock. The main message to get out there is the brain and the heart are the ones that take the hit. They may have caused it, you know, especially the heart, but they take the hit, and if you're not going to get up, it's because it went too far, too advanced.
Very good.
Okay.
That's we had one. Remember the Betsy's horse when she called Luke?
Yeah.
He started doing that. He did it once out in the field, and I said, "You're not riding him anymore." He was old. We're just going to feed him. And then we brought him up one day. He was in the stall, and he went down. And he hit the side of the stall. It sounded like the barn was going to fall down. So we didn't put him up anymore, because you can't have him die in the stall, because you have to take the barn down to get him out. So, but he did that periodically till he finally just, you know.
Yeah.
If he was out in the field, first thing I'd take is that it wasn't, well, it was a kind of a shock, but it was a brain event, and the most common thing that'll cause them to collapse like that, especially at rest, is narcolepsy. So that's falling asleep, and when a lot of horses will look like they're getting a little woozy, they'll fall asleep, they'll drop that head down, and then they get what's called cataplexy, where they collapse. So it takes away the way their muscle thing. People will do the same things.
Yeah.
Those horses that will have narcolepsy will usually have scars on their knees, where they've gone down a lot of times, and so their knees are thickened. If you feel their knees, you can tell that they've had a lot of abrasions in the past.
Give her a pencil or whatever. Are you going to work something, Brenda? Well, I mean, shush. I'm supposed to talk. Brenda went.
She's thinking.
She's
okay.
Considerate.
Well, write your horse's name down. Well, you know, when Betsy got hurt, she was just walking with this. This horse was just walking, and it just went down like a shot. Just bam, like that.
Same horse.
No, this is a different one.
Yeah. Right.
Hello?
So, you know, she had no shot, you know. I mean,
right.
It would have killed her if she hadn't had a helmet on, because it was real hard ground and everything, you know. And he just, I saw it happen. This is when our daughter got hurt. And the horse just went down, you know, like somebody shot him between the eyes. And he got right up.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't, but he did, but, you know.
Had he ever done it before?
You know, we had this horse about a month is all. It was a quiet old quarter horse, and he wasn't that old, you know. I'd never seen it before.
Well, quarter horse, you know, you'd worry about HYPP. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
You know, and, of course, those are the halter horses, big muscle-bound.
Well, this was a horse. Well, he wasn't that big muscle bound. He looked like the old fashioned quarter horse.
Yeah, well, those would be working horses, and usually they don't have that problem.
Yeah,
you know, the HYPP. Your halter horses are—they all trace back actually to a thoroughbred named Impressive.
Yeah, it was by court martial.
Huh. Well, he provided a lot of court martial.
I'm not that smart. I looked that up.
All right, nothing wrong with his electrical connections today.
No. All right. Yeah, I remember him. He raced for Wheatley. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, Invisor won the grade. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Yeah. I love listening to all those big words. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I love listening to them.
Memorize that book for next week.
All right. He said, memorize this book. He left me a book called Glossary of Veterinarian Terms. Yeah, oh, well. Well, Invisor won the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup in 2007. Of course, they're running that today, I believe it. In his only other start that year, he won the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream. As a result, he not only earned the Eclipse Award as champion older male in the USA, but at the time of his retirement, he was ranked number one in the world. This followed a year in which he had earned an Eclipse Award as Horse of the Year in the USA and had been ranked number one in the world after he had won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade 1 Whitney, the Grade 1 Suburban, and the Grade 1 Pimlico Special. The previous year, as a three-year-old, he was Horse of the Year in his native South America, won his only start as a two-year-old also, and Invisor never tasted defeat in North America or in South America. He won two of the world's richest races in the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup, and he won an unprecedented six consecutive Grade 1 stakes, retiring with earnings of $7,804,070. Sired by the highly successful Candy Stripes from a female family loaded with Grade 1 winners, Invisor stands for 20,000 Live Foliage Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right across the table.
I'm glad we're here.
Wake up.
Can I go to sleep?
Yeah, I want to talk about Quillen Tack. Quillen Leather and Tack. They've still got the full halters and newborn halters on sale.
Hey, Susie, want to see the racing form? It's Joe's.
Something to read.
Joe Heat, the starter here.
Mark it up.
Yeah. Joe Heat is a big Ohio State fan.
I'm so sorry.
I have his racing form here for him. He was going to pick it up, but I think he was afraid to face me.
Oh, that may be it. Okay, Quillen, as I said, calico, foal, and newborn halters. And what's a calico halter? Well, to keep the cost down, they take bits of leftover leathers from the big halters because they all, you know, aren't quite the same size. And they use those to make the baby halters, hence saving you a lot of money because they're just $6.95 for each. So that's a big savings, and they're kind of cute. Besides, after they're turned out in them a week, they all look the same anyway. Mud-colored is what they do. So, and they also have a special dozen halter deal for newborn and foal turnout halters. And also, they got a lot of muzzles for sick babies and newborn and foal sizes. So if you need something special like that, you know, the thing is if you need something special, if something's sick or whatever, they'll do it up for you. They've got great guys. Wayne's downstairs. I think Wayne could probably build anything out of leather that you need.
Yeah, and they're really good.
I'll tell you something else. I was looking through. I get catalogs in the mail, and the cheesy halters in those catalogs, and they're $80. And they're turnout halters, and they're thin old leather and creepy looking.
Well, there's nothing cheesy about the Quillen tack.
No, it's wonderful. Let me give you their phone number. Well, it's Quillen.com, Quillin.com, or 987-0215.
Well, Hold Me Back was a multiple graded stakes winner, and he just missed in two of North America's most prestigious stakes. He was second in the historic Grade 1 Travers and second in Keeneland's Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes. One on dirt, the other on artificial. He won the Grade 2 $500,000 Lanes End Stakes at Woodbine and Woodbine's Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap,
and he came out running as a two-year-old, winning his first two starts, one at Keeneland, the other at Arlington Park. He earned $872,610. So it's a fact that Holmeback was a runner. He bested, well, the likes of Quality Road, Warriors Reward during his career. And it's also a fact that he has a great pedigree. Holmeback is by champion sire Giants Causeway, out of a daughter of unbridled song, and his second dam is the champion of Vowel. Now consider this. Breeder mare to Holmeback this year for $6,000, due when the foal stands and nurses, pay the fee when it's due, and you receive a free lifetime breeding right. One and done. Can't beat that. You are encouraged to visit Windstar Farm to inspect Holmeback. We think you're going to like what you see. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. Check the website, windstarfarm.com.
Glossary of terms, and he said you're supposed to do this by next week, but why don't you start with A? There's only three.
Oh, good.
Actually, there aren't that many. I don't think you'll get a degree in veterinary medicine from this book.
Yeah. I stopped studying a long time ago.
Yeah, why
would you? If I can't remember it, to heck with it.
Yeah, it's not important.
My memory's failing, so.
And it's not important, what I say. Okay, Jake. Okay, try that again. The Grayson Jockey Club. Say that 10 times fast. That's hard.
Ed Bowen can do it.
Ed Bowen can. Well, he's got a vested interest. The Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation is going to launch 9 research projects and participate in a total of 17 this year, a total allocation of over $800,000. The foundation is the leading source of private funding for veterinary research, specifically for horse health. So, the 2011 funding brings their grand total from 1983 to now to $18 million plus. 279 projects at 40 universities. That's a good deal. Kentucky Equine Humane Center All Breed Charity Show will be held Sunday, May 8th at Bally High Show Stable in Versailles. That is, you go down the Bluegrass Parkway, get off the first exit, turn left, and turn left again at the fork in the road. That's Joyce Brinsfield's place, Sunday, May 8th. Oh, goody. Let's talk about this.
Oh, yeah. This is compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and TRBB. Toba, I should say. These are Kentucky-bred winners of stakes races last weekend. The Grade 2 Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn, of course, went to the Factor, Eastman the First Crop by Warfront, bred by H&W Thoroughbreds. The Grade 2 Inside Information Stakes at Gulfstream Park, it was Hilda's Passion, a Canadian Frontier filly, bred by Ted and Betsy Custer, good Bourbon Countyans. That's her third graded stakes win, by the way. She won the Ravens Run out of Keenan last fall. The Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes Santa Anita went to Malibu Pier, bred by Mr. B. Wayne Hughes, and is, of course, by the Spencerist Stallion, Malibu Moon. The Grade 2 Azari Stakes at Oaklawn Park. Now, I'm going to say Havre de Grace. Everybody says Havre de Grace.
They're not saying Havre either. They say Havre de Grace.
Well, anyway, but I remember when they were used to run at Havre de Grace, and everybody pronounced it that way, so that's what I'm going to say.
Good for you.
It's Maryland. Anyway, that's where the old racetrack was. Of course, I say Versailles instead of Versailles, but that, so I guess that's a conflict.
That's generally accepted. It's a localism.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway. The Azari Stakes at Oaklawn Park went to Havre de Grace, bred by Nancy C. Dillman. The Grade 3 San Luis Rey Stakes, San Luis Rey, I guess it would be, Santa Anita went to Juniper Pass, bred by Brookdale Thoroughbreds. The Joe Hernandez Stakes at Santa Anita was regally ready. Another more than ready, incidentally. He was over at Vinery. That's 5 stakes winners for him. And that was bred by Grapestock, which is the racing division of Vinery. The OBS Sprint Stakes down at the Ocala Training Center went to One Star, who's by Include, bred by Curtis Green, Include, over at Airdrie Stud. The Tejano Run Stakes at Turfway went to Barishnikov, bred by the Summer Wind Farm. the Group 3 pre-Exbury, where it would be, but in France. They went to Polytechnician, bred by Wertheimer and Freer, and was raised and foaled right over here at Haggard Farm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dixiana, by the way, is having these Monday between April 1st and June 30th. Every Monday at 10 o'clock, they're going to have two-year-olds training on the farm track for people to look at. So you're welcome to come out. There's 16 of them open for purchase. You know who their blood stock agent is now?
David and Gordo.
Yes.
Yeah, David's
of Zenyatta fame.
Well, David helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's got his fingers in a whole lot of pie. Nice guy, too.
Yeah, Dermot Fagan is their broodmare manager. Anyway, Dameron Tech's back. That would be Sean Dameron is back. I went down there yesterday and walked in, and he fixed a glitch in my computer. He's between a couple of churches, and that just blows my mind, in Versailles. You go down to Versailles from Lexington, and you go to, you can't go, you have to go right or left, right there by the courthouse, turn right, and he's about a half block up on the right, and the windows are painted. He's in the lower level. See, it used to be the basement of the old Y years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He painted his windows?
Well, he's got his signs up on the windows.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you can tell where it is. Anyway, he's usually in there in the afternoon, but he's doing a lot of Dameron Cam stuff where he is puts up cameras for people, and one of those voices you can hear all over the plantation. Anyway, Dameron Cams, he comes over to your place, farm, business, or anything, barns, and he puts in cameras, and he fixes it so that the image comes back on your cell phone or goes to your house, to your computer, and you can keep up with what's going on. He also is still doing Dameron Tech work on computers. So you've got Dameron Tech and Dameron Cam, and let me give you his number. It's 230-6449 or Dameron, D-A-M-R-O-N, tech.com. Sandy Atkins is coming up from Florida real quick. She's looking for an assistant trainer. So anybody that knows her would have her phone number. You might want to give her a call. I just told her I'd mention it because, you know, people might be looking for some work. Okay, March 31st at 6 o'clock at the Gluck Equine Research Center Auditorium, the UK Equine Initiative presents Keeneland's Ted Bassett. He's going to talk about stuff he's done, which is a lot. Dan Liebman is going to moderate an informal question and answer discussion. So, sounds like a good place to be. That's March 31st at 6 in the afternoon, Gluck Equine Research Center Auditorium. Masterson Equestrian Trust Show for Hunters and Jumpers, April 16th and 17th. Hunter Show's on the 16th. Sunday is the Jumper Show and Cross Country Schooling that afternoon, too, on Sunday. So, I want to put that on your calendar. That's a really nice thing, and it benefits the Masterson Equestrian Trust, and they take care of keeping the place up. TOBA 2010 Seminars and Clinics, New Owner Seminars, May 5th, Kentucky Derby Museum in Louisville, and then there's a breeding clinic here in Lexington. That's May 27th through the 29th. If you want to register, go to TOBA, T-O-B-A, that's Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association.org, TOBA.org. CKRH is still looking for small horses and big horses. If they can find some nice big ones, they want to get a veterans group going for riding for handicaps. So bear that in mind if you've got something nice, big or small. Cross-country schooling days at the horse park. Never get to ride at the horse park unless you're in a show or you're competing, except there are 5 days that they open it up and you can ride across the park, same place where all the big deal guys go. And all that good stuff. Let me give you the first one, Sunday, May 15th. It's $35 plus parking. You can check it out. Call the horse park.
I'm a little late with this set of commercials. I had to get up and clock one. Something Matthew Street worked. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes was won by Malibu Pier, a four-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, a homebred. Malibu Pier ran second in the Grade 1 Stakes in 2010, and she carried the silks of B. Wayne Hughes' Spendthrift Farm to become the 50th stakes winner by the Spendthrift Farm stallion Malibu Moon, who climbed to number 3 on the North American sire list last year. Also standing at Spendthrift is the graded stakes winner Temple City, a close relative of Malibu Moon. Also bred by Mr. Hughes, Temple City is out of the Danzig Mare curriculum, a half-sister to Malibu Moon, out of a Group 1 stakes winner named Macumba by Mr. Prospector. Now, the fact that Temple City is sired by Dinah Farmer, who was ranked among the top 20 on the sire list 11 times, and you have a sire pedigree, great sire pedigree. Don't go anywhere, Jackie.
The Spider.
Oh, Spider, well, to hell with him.
Get the Norris Records CD Tom is now in stock at Prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
All righty, I want to talk a little bit about my good friends over at the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. They specialize in elective surgery, if I can spit it out there. It's outpatient medicine over there. Oh, you know, if you've got a horse, got a chip, it needs to be removed. What you need to do is call them, make an appointment, and they take care of you, and then they send you home. And it's a great facility over there. Dr. Wes Sutter is, of course, from Ohio State, been down at Ocala in the Ocala Equine Hospital, and he is a board-certified surgeon, and he takes care of most of the surgery. Dr. Bill Bernard, who spent 17 years with Rude and Riddle, highly respected. He heads the outpatient medicine division. And Dr. Lori Bidwell, who also came from Rude and Riddle, is a board-certified anesthesiologist. So just call them for an appointment. They can take care of you over there. And Dr. Bernard's wife, Jackie Bernard, Jackie used to train out here, remember?
Yes.
Real pretty. She was the prettiest trainer out here and still is pretty, as a matter of that. I always recognize.
I wasn't training at the time.
And anyway, she has the pharmacy.
Yes, yeah. She has to be careful.
She has the pharmacy right next door.
Yeah, there. And this is what's so interesting about this pharmacy. It's a compounding pharmacy, which means they do not just have pills in buckets to dish out. That's what compounding means is one size does not fit all. When a vet wants a certain prescription for a certain size horse or whatever particular disease, whatever it is, they can go there and their chemists and pharmacists can compound solutions so you get exactly what you need, not some hunk of stuff made by a standardized medical industry. This is really pretty interesting. There's only 2, I think, or 3 maybe compounding human pharmacies in central Kentucky that I know of. This is a big deal. Anyway, that means vets can prescribe the specific strength, form, and flavor for each animal. It's quite good. Also, this is funny. They have apple, cherry, peppermint, alfalfa, molasses, and vanilla, or any animal flavor you want. So your little horsey can take his whittle medicine compounded for him.
You got a website or something there for him, or do we have one?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I've got it over
here. Wake up over there.
Oh, shut up. Jackie, of course, is married to Bill Bernard, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, lucky guy. It's J. Bernard at WycliffeRx.com. I better spell that for you. WycliffeRx.com.
They also have an 888 number, 934-5678, and that's not a bad number.
And their location, of course, is right on the corner of Ironworks and Georgetown Pike, with the entrance off of Georgetown Pike. Right on, and be right with you, Walt. I got behind there. I had to get up and clock that horse. right. Well, last Saturday at, let me see if I know where I'm doing it here. I think I just did that
one. You got one of them, you got cut off.
Minky Beef Jerky Studios.
Minky Beef Jerky.
Yeah.
Love it as much as we do.
Get together with this guy down here. With a man down at the station. Well, Vinery is the home of last year's number one ranked sour two-year-olds. More than ready. And number one ranked freshman sour. Congrats. Kodiak Cowboy was a superior two-year-old, won the Sovereign Award as the best two-year-old in Canada, was quite a runner in the USA, taking both the Grade 2 Saratoga Special and the Churchill's Grade 3 Bashford Manor, Kodiak Cowboy's first foals arriving this year, and they're receiving rave reviews, so look for his name at the top of the juvenile sire list in a couple of years. Of course, Kodiak Cowboy went on after his two-year-old year to win the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, the Grade 2 Amsterdam, the Grade 3 Sport Page, and the Donald Devine Memorial. Picked up an Eclipse Award as champion sprinter along the way. He was fast, posting 100-plus buyers at 6 furlongs, 6.5 furlongs, 7 furlongs, 7.5 furlongs, and a mile. He was consistent, was on the board in 20 of his 23 starts, and he was dead game, and he was wealthy, retiring with earnings of over $1,663,000. Kodiak Cowboy stands at Vinery. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Relihan, Grant Williamson, and see the website at vinery.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Minky Beef Jerky Studios.
Minky Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
March 19th at Gulfstream, the Grade $250,000 Inside Information Stakes was won by Hilda's Passion, a four-year-old filly by Canadian Frontier bred by Ted and Betsy Custer. Hilda's Passion set a new track record in the Inside Information, 7 furlongs and 120 and 2, after she put down fractions of 22, 44 and 1, and 107 and 4 to win as she pleased, won by 5 1/4 lengths. She went into the Inside Information off a score in the Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie Stakes at Gulfstream, and earlier victories in the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland and the Bennington Stakes at Saratoga. The next start is scheduled to be the Grade 1 Humana Distaff at Churchill on May 7th. I believe that's Derby Day. That Derby Day, or the day before?
That's Derby Day.
Derby Day, I believe it is, yeah. Anyway, May, whatever May the 7th is. If she wins that, she'll be the second Grade 1 Stakes winner by Canadian Frontier. Is No Such Word, won 5 stakes at 3 last year, 3 great, including the Grade 1 Gazelle in New York. And by the way, that 120 and 2, 7 furlongs of Hilda's Passion ran in the Inside Information Stakes, broke the old track record held by Big Drummer. Winner of the Eclipse Award is champion sprinter. Canadian Frontier is a good-looking graded stakes winner by Gone West. He stands for 3,500 live foal with some very incentive breeders incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdreestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Go back to the 18th century.
All righty.
About 30 years.
All right, ready to start the second hour of this mess. Well, we'll see if we can't straighten it up for Walt Robertson, who's vice president of sales at Keeneland. Walt, get a little closer to that. And, of course, formerly with Fasey Tipton. Long time with Fasey Tipton.
Yeah, 35 years.
35 years.
He's been married 40, though.
Has he?
That's right.
And auctioneer extraordinaire. And Walt, thanks for coming by. I do appreciate it.
Well, glad to be here. Ursula, always been a fan of yours.
Oh, well, I didn't
Lord
think.
Help us.
I'm glad to know. I'm glad to meet the other
one. One of us out there.
Yeah, right.
Now that Mom passed.
Yeah, right. Well, Walter, I've known you for a long time, and I tried to get you on the air a couple of years ago, and yeah. couldn't do it. But I appreciate you coming by, and it's a big move for you, isn't it?
It is. It was, I left the other company last fall and wasn't real good at retirement.
No, hell, it didn't last but about a week.
I paid well too much.
Did it last that long?
Yep.
You didn't want to retire anyway. You can't fool me.
Well, I'm not retired anymore, so here we are.
Exactly. Well, you've been around long, but, where are you from originally?
Well, I'm originally from my father and from Bath County, and my dad was saddlebred trainer and real good at it.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Still. Okay, yes, Jackie would know a little bit. She used to
well,
be
really, Bethel.
Oh, okay.
The big city of Bethel.
Yeah.
Is that where you're from, Bethel?
That's where my dad's folks are from. My mother's folks are from Barberville, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Knox County.
Yeah, and so, I was born down there when Dad was training horses at a place called Minton Hickory Farm, which was one of the leading saddlebred farms in the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was, well, I hate to ask you.
48.
1948?
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Is when your dad was there?
Yeah, he was. He went to work there after the war and worked there until I was 6 months old. Then we moved to California and trained horses for a lady in Woodside, California, outside Where's, of San Francisco.
Okay, up, up in Northern California.
Uh-huh, and we lived there for 6 years. And unfortunately, that's where my daughter lives right now. And, I mean, it's a great place for her, but it's too far from here.
Yeah.
And she's the mother of my two grandchildren.
Well, good.
Yeah, so
grandchildren, huh?
Yeah, yeah. My wife, she goes out there. She's going tomorrow, or see, she's going Monday. She goes once a month, spends a week out there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so you got into the horse business basically that way.
I did. My dad traded a lot of horses, bought and sold. And when I was in high school, I'd help the auction. He'd have sales, put on sales.
Was he an auctioneer?
No. No, he hired an auctioneer. And I would always help the man set up the sales for Dad. And he'd have one or two a year and just evolved into that. And I was did all the saddlebred sales that there were. And that took care of about 6-7 days a year. So I needed something to do the rest of the year. And here I am.
Now, that's when you were retired. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have to go to school to learn to be an auctioneer?
I did go to school, but I'd been doing it for a couple of years by the time I got to school. So.
Yeah.
But I did go to an auction.
And you developed a unique style.
Well, I hope so. I mean.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to listen to and easy to understand.
Well, that's the main part is you've got to be understood.
Yeah. Now, what was your first job in? Was Phasic Tipping your first job?
No, I worked for Mr. Swinebroad, and you'll remember J.T. Denton.
Oh, my God. I remember George Swinebroad.
Right. But I worked.
How could you forget Joe?
For those two, and worked at Keeneland for the last 2 years of his life. I think I was there 73 to 75, and worked as a bid spotter.
He was a character.
Oh man, was he ever good auctioneer too?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. The best. I mean,
he would stand up there. He could insult some of these buyers, you know.
Yeah. I've
never heard you do that.
He could make them mad enough to bid. I think if I made them mad, they'd walk off. So, so I tried not to make them mad, but he could make them mad enough to bid again.
Yeah, yeah. He was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
George was, and let's see who followed George out there.
Then? Tom Caldwell.
Yeah, Tom did.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Tom's passed away now, but is his son still
got
on the
two sons? Yep, and they're still there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Scott and Chris.
So you started out as a spotter.
Started out at Keeneland as a spotter and then went to work at Phasic. And my first job was the sale. We didn't even have a sale pavilion back then, but my job was getting the horses to the sale ring.
Okay.
And then the next sale, I did bid spotting, and within a couple of years, I was auctioneering.
You were there with that first sale?
Well, the first one there, yeah, and it was a sale that Seattle Slough was in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1975.
Yeah, because I remember, of course, you'd been too young then, when they had that tent sale out, I guess it was on Old Frankfort, wasn't it?
Well, that was the year before, and they had Derby winner there, Bull Forbes.
Old Forbes.
Yeah.
And didn't they have the Preakness winner, too?
They did, Elocutionist.
Yeah.
They win the Triple Crown back-to-back.
Yeah, because Bull Forbes came back and won the Belmont.
Belmont, exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, Seattle Slough won all three races.
Yeah. Now, that was... who had was that Don Hardesty's old place, Bonnie Braves?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Who was running that at that time, you remember?
Do not remember.
It wasn't Henry Alexander, was it?
Could have been. Could have been. I was still at Keeneland that day.
Were you?
Yeah.
So one of you remembers it. One of you even brought it up. So then you went in. Well, when did you start auctioneering over at Phasic Tipton?
Started auctioneering at Phasic Tipton probably 1976, 77. It wasn't long. And I'd been selling saddlebreds prior to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you start in Kentucky, or did you go anywhere else? Or
the first horse sale that I ever conducted where I was, it was my sale.
Yeah.
Was in Matthews, North Carolina. But most of what I did was in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Did you do Tattersalls?
I did, still do.
Oh, okay.
Still do.
You still going to?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's part of the deal, huh?
Yeah.
Keenan want a cut?
They might need one, yeah.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that. Nick will be on the phone. Yep. So, yeah, we want a cut.
There we go. There we go.
All right. Okay. But did you, for Fazy Tipton, did you go to other sales too?
I did. I started out, of course, the first few years were in Kentucky, and then went to Florida, went to Saratoga, Maryland.
Did you call? You did the Saratoga sales?
Didn't do the Saratoga sales probably till 20 years ago.
Oh.
But did most everything else prior to that. But Saratoga would always have in the neighborhood of 100 a night, so two men could handle it. And back at that time, we had Laddie Dance and Ralph Rettler.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need a third man.
Yeah. Mr. Finney was gone by that time, wasn't he?
He was not active anymore, but...
I mean, the...
I'm talking about Humphrey.
Yeah, Humphrey. Yeah, yeah.
But he was still alive, and I'd go see him, and he'd come to the sale some.
He was another...
Oh, he's the best.
He was a neat guy, wasn't he?
The very best.
Yeah.
The very best.
I always enjoyed him. He always had some good tall tales to tell. I wish he could be around to interview. That would be fun.
I went to his house one night, and one afternoon, and...
When he was living on Pisgah?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And had a drink with him. And he said, I asked him how he was getting along. He said, fine. Said, the doctor, this was probably in 76
mm-hmm.
when I went to see him. And he said, the doctor has taken me down to one drink a day. I said, man, that's a little tough to live with, isn't it? He said, well... This is January 23rd, 1980.
So you run a little ahead of schedule.
Yeah, well, one a day, so you live by it.
Let me take a little break here, and I'll get back right back with you. I'm talking to Walt Robertson from over at Keeneland. And last Saturday at Oaklawn, the Grade II $300,000 Rebel Stakes was won by the Factor, a three-year-old colt from the first crop by Warfront. The Factor completely dominated the field in the Rebel. By, as the old-timers say, going to the front and improving his position. In his first start around two turns, he won as he pleased, widening 6 1/4 lengths. And prior to the Rebel, he had won a maiden special, going 6 furlongs in track record time of 106-4, and the Grade II San Vicente. And he was listed number 8 on the Daily Racing Form's top 20 Derby watch list. And now, he's number 2 on the list. Number 2 on the list at that, but prior to that was Sold At, winner of the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth, and looming in the background is Great Mills, winner of 3 of his 4 starts, including the Grindstone Stakes at the Fairgrounds on March 12th. The Factor, Sold At, Great Mills, 3 Derby, Kentucky Derby candidates from the first crop by Warfront. Warfront's by the Great Danzig, and he gives every indication of being a chip off the old block. Stands at Claiborne Farm, inquires to Bernie Sams, see the website at claibornfarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, the first foals by Dunkirk are arriving this year, and there's something special. For a sample, take a look at page 5 in the March 19 issue of the Thoroughbred Times. Of course, Dunkirk himself was something special. He was a $3,700,000 Keeneland September sales topper. Dunkirk, after going six wide, blew away his opponents in his first start, won by nearly six lengths. In his second start, his first start around two turns, he won by 4.5 lengths. Under Garrett Gomez, who observed after the race, when I asked him, he was super. That's the way a special horse responds. Then, in just his third career start, Dunkirk took on Quality Road in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Steve Haskins saw the race. He wrote, Dunkirk's performance under the circumstances was sensational. Regardless of whether he won or not, the move he made on the far turn and his overall performance stamped him as something special. There's that description again. Something special. Dunkirk concluded his career with a dead game second in the Grade 1 Classic Belmont Stakes. He's by leading Sire and Bridal Song. Out of Grade 1 Stakes won a secret status by APN, and he stands for $10,000 live foal at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's leading sire for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. I'm talking to Roy Robertson from Keeneland. I can't get used to saying that, but I bet you can't get used to being there.
I'm used to it, yep.
Already, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's been a few months.
Yeah, Jackie wants me to ask you that if you used to ride saddle horses.
I did. Showed some horses for my dad. I certainly wasn't as good at it as he was, or my brother. My brother trained saddlebreds today, lives in Shelbyville.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
The home, Shelbyville.
They used to have a good fair circuit down there,
didn't
they?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do they still have?
Absolutely.
I didn't know.
Absolutely.
That.
And, yeah, that's what my brother does.
Okay, right. Yeah. When I was a kid, I grew up on Dixiana. And
yeah.
They had show horses.
All the best.
Yeah, up until 1947. Yeah.
King's Genius.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody remembered him but me.
I do Facebook, and somehow an old picture showed up. They're throwing out old Junior Lake pictures, put them online. Bain Welker's father is
absolutely
a 7 to 10-year-old, something like that, out there. It was when they, it's a lot of fun.
Well, Bain and I worked together at Phasic, of course, and Bain Sr., that's where he started, and, of course, we connected when we figured that out.
A lot of people started in the show. You know, Lee Eden started
out
with show horses.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Biederman's wife, Lisa.
Tom himself.
Did Tom, too?
Tom's
didn't realize
father
that. I knew
was
Lisa.
A man named Tom Biederman, and there were three generations of saddle horse people.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you something about that now. Of course, my dad loved the thoroughbreds. You know, he was managing Dixiana. He was standing Spy Song out there. And High Petter came by to visit him one day, and he was admiring all the trophies over there. And he says, "Boy, I sure love the show horses." And Dad looked at him and says, "You involved with show horses?" And he says, "Yes, sir." And he says, "Well, I always knew you were silly SOB." Yeah. Now, High told me that, so I guess I'd say it all
sure.
Here. Yeah. Well, you sold a lot of horses. Anything stand out in your mind?
Well, I mean, you always think about the good horses and the expensive ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the highest priced horse you ever sold?
Green Monkey.
Did you sell the Green Monkey?
Sir.
What was that?
$16 million.
$16 million.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what did you think at the time when that
was? You just had no idea how far it was going to go. I mean, we all knew that he was going to sell well. We all knew that he was probably a potential 2-year-old record breaker, but who could predict $16 million?
Yeah, what was his pedigree again? Now
he was by Forestry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And who ended up with him? I forgot that now. This is too recent for me. I got to go.
No,
back.
Jimmy O'Byrne signed the ticket.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Chuck Ferguson was the underbidder.
Yeah. Wow. What's the best horse you ever sold?
Ooh, let me think about this. My first Derby winner was Gopher Jen.
Okay.
And that was exciting.
Yeah. Were you rooting for him that day? Or
oh, absolutely. In the rain, bet on him.
Bet on him in the rain.
You know I did.
He wired the field, too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Paid good, too.
What did he pay him? He'll remember this, too.
I think it was $18, something like that. I mean, maybe it was $22, but it was a neighborhood of 10 to 1. It was good.
Yeah.
Had a good day.
Yeah, Chris. Who wrote him? Chris McCarron? Did Chris write him?
I don't think.
I believe he did.
Might have,
I believe. Chris.
I'm thinking he did.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You know, he's got the jock school out here.
Yes,
now.
He does. Yes,
turning
he does.
Out some good writers too. Mm-hmm. Kid Ben Creed is the leading writer down at Turfway this year.
I'm glad for Chris. It's and I'm glad for what he's doing.
Oh yeah, it's fun to watch these kids.
You bet.
They're over 700 wins now.
Yeah, the graduates of the school. Yeah.
That's
Are you going to do any auctioneering at Keeneland? Or?
Yeah, I'd say I'll do some auctioneering this fall.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You going?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
What about the 2-year-old training safe?
Well, like Saratoga, there's 171, and I don't need to. The auctioneers Ryan and Scott do that.
Yeah,
it's kind of a 2-man job.
Yeah, because that's in one of the highfalutin sales they've got out of it. That's a new one. What kind of changes? I know you've noticed you did some changes for this fall for stable arrangements out there.
Yeah, we've made the Book 2 a 3-day affair.
Yeah.
And last year it was a 4-day affair, but the horses were stabled in two different places. This year, Book 2 will be a 3-day affair, and the horses will all be stabled together for the duration of the 3 days.
Well, that simplifies it a lot for the consignor.
Very much for the consignor and for the buyer, too, and we think it's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
Hopefully the logistics pay off for us.
Yeah. I had noticed some of my advertisers, like Indian Creek, you know, they would have to move back and forth, and they were selling, you know, on the first or second day, and then the third and the fourth day. You know.
Exactly.
Now they'll be all
together. We'll have Book 1 and of course, they'll have to move between Book 1 and Book 2, but all of the Book 2 horses will be in the same shed rows.
Yeah. Are you going to be involved with inspection?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think you enjoy that, don't you?
I do. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
Especially seeing the young sires and predicting what's going to happen later.
Yeah. Do you get a good idea looking at confirmation?
You know what's good looking, but what sire's going to make it? I wished I could. I wish I was better than that.
Yeah.
At that.
Yeah, because, polecat looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that would be the fun part, going around and seeing different sires and different consigners. And of course, you know most of the consigners.
Pretty well. You know, I mean, there's new people all the time. That's a part of the job that I certainly like.
Yeah. You going to do any show horse sales?
Well, I might do the odd ones that I've done in the past, but I'm not going to take on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my plate's pretty full.
Getting back to the show horses, it always interests me. I remember as a kid going to Harrodsburg. Do they still have?
Oh, a wonderful horse show! Harrodsburg, Shelbyville.
One up near Maysville, Germantown. Germantown was always.
And I don't know that it's that big anymore.
Is
but
that
it used
right?
To be
yeah.
A
now, we
deal.
Actually went to Germantown.
Yeah. That was because you live close by there.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything up by that smelly river. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen something go through and you thought, oh, that's a steal? And then later you remembered it and it came back, turned out to be a nice horse.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot.
A lot?
Yeah. Well, not a lot, I mean, but. You know, you'll see a horse that's a pretty nice horse, may not bring enough, and remember it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I did a commercial here. I'm looking for that Airdrie thing. Anyway, that thing that won the Grade 1 Stakes winner last year, what was her name? Anyway, by Canadian Frontier, a nice young stud horse he's got down there for Going West. I was talking to... Wayne Mackey, and he had it out here as a 2-year-old, and that thing went through the ring without a bid.
Holy cow!
And she's won $600,000 to $700,000 now, you know. So
You never know.
Have you ever bought any yourself?
In the years past, I do not today own a hair on a horse, and have it for some time. But in years past, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Show horses or thoroughbred?
Both.
Both.
Both. My daughter rode show horses with my brother.
Oh, okay.
And started out with my dad until he died, and she did pretty well. She did as well as she could with a dad that couldn't afford a nice horse.
Yeah, I can relate to that. That's all I show.
She was top 10 in the country, equitation rider. But she did as well as you could do on ability without without a top horse, and she had, unfortunately, a dad that just couldn't afford a top horse.
You know, he's too damn tight, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, what did you race? Did you race something at one time? Or?
You know, my wife's been a partner on a horse or two that that have run and done fine. You know, background I came up with, had I ever owned a horse in the past, I would have probably sold him long before he got good.
Yeah, that's what we always had to do. Poor man had to sell.
Yeah, when I was a little boy, my dad used to go to a horse show like to Germantown. And if he had a space on the truck, he'd throw my pony on there.
Yeah.
And let me ride around the showgrounds. And pretty soon, somebody would say, hey, boy, you want to sell that horse? And, of course, the answer was always yes. And so I'd go home without a pony.
You should have wised up and not taken him.
Well, he always gave us a taste, so the sale day was a good day for the kids, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother and I.
You have children?
I do. I've got
two
children.
Daughter in California.
Real proud of both of them. She's a rheumatologist.
Wow.
She's just finishing a fellowship out there in rheumatology, and my son's a lawyer here in town.
A lawyer?
Yeah, so I'm pretty proud of both
Who's
of them.
Who's he with?
Wow. Who's he with? Yeah.
He's with Stites.
That'll work.
Okay. Uh-huh. Very good.
Yeah.
So he can take care of all your problems.
Yeah, well, that's what one time he said, hey, maybe I can take care of my health. He can take care of the rest. He said he'd be busier.
That's cute.
Well, I married a lawyer, you know, so it's anyway. But she doesn't take care of my problems. She causes my problems.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's great, Walt. I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate you coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
And it's been fun talking to you.
Enjoyed it.
I've known you all these years, but I never knew, you know, your background or anything like that. So you're going to be, what are you going to do here? Oh, you're going to go try to
My
get...
My dad was Jim B. Robertson. Remember him?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized, yeah, he just told me to his father, but chewy. Huh, how about that?
Well, it's about time you woke up to it. Okay, Walt. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you so much
Thanks,
for coming
sir.
By. We'll see you at the races, my friend. I won't say the sales, because I'm like you. I'm too poor to buy one.
Come to sales, too.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, much.
Can't win a lottery without buying a ticket.
Well, there you go. All righty. Well, Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense and Mizmast stand at Judmont Farm. First foals by First Defense are yearlings. Mizzen Mass is a proven sire Grade 1 Stakes winner. And a two-year-old colt on Mizzen Mass was sold for $350,000 at the recent OBS sale to Buzz Chase, who's agent for Richard Santilli. Mizzen Mass is the sire of Mass Track, a Grade 1 Stakes winner and track record breaker of over $928,000. Josiah Midships, a Grade 1 Stakes winner of over $528,000. He is the sire of 8 stakes winners, plus 5 more that placed in stakes last year. He's sired major stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial, and in 4 countries, in France, Japan, Italy, and, of course, the USA. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on dirt. He's the son of leading sire Cozine, with a pedigree that offers an outcross to Stormcat and Mr. Prospector Lion Merritt, and he stands for 12,500 live foal. First Defense is one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song. And is out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner, Honest Lady, and she's by Seattle Slough. His 2011 stud fee is $7,500 live foal. So watch for first crop yearlings at the major sales by First Defense. And also watch for yearlings by a Grade 1 Stakes performer, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. We'll talk about my good friend Tom Biederman. Bumped into Tom down in Paris the other day, and I'm sure he was showing a farm. He has got some really wonderful listings for sale, including there's one right there at Elizabeth Station. And I believe the sign was still up when I drove in this morning, but it may not have been because Tom sells them in a hurry now. And he's got great listings, and I'm going to give you his website, where you can go to his website and look at some of his listings. It's fun to get on there and just browse, you know. And it's BiedemanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMEN, Brokerage.com. And Tom, that's good, some great people working for him, Reggie Bushell and Brad Noel and Broussard Huntley and Mike Lear and Joel Brown and Ryan Teeter and Mike Morrison. But, of course, Tom is a broker himself, and he can would list your farm for you or find your farm. Either way, go to his website. Got some great listings. It's BiedemanBrokerage.com. This is a guy that he's fun to know, and he's somebody that can do a really good job for you. You just, you know, he's straight as an arrow, and you don't have to worry about any finaglings or anything like that. That's Tom Biedemann. Here's his phone number, 277-2030.
When Jack and I are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance, the Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, Malibu Pier, winner last weekend of the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes at Santa Anita, was bred by B. Wayne Hughes and raised at Mr. Hughes' Spendthrift Farm. In France, the Group 3 Prix Experi winner, Polytechnician, was raised at Haggett Farm for owners Wertheimer and Freer. The Tejano Run Stakes at Turfway was won by Barishnikov, raised at Summerwind Farm. And the Joe Hernandez Stakes at Santa Anita went to Regally Ready, which was bred by Grapestock, which is a division of Vinery. Now, the team at McCauley Brothers is proud to list Spendthrift Farm and Haggett Farm and Summerwind Farm and Vinery among their valued customers. McCauley Brothers has been producing the finest feeds and supplements for the horse since 1938. They're the only feed mill in Kentucky, and they're the first in the nation, devoting 100% of the time and efforts producing products exclusively for the horse. So it's extremely gratifying to watch the success of associates. You can join the winning team. Just contact Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. All righty. Well, I've got a very happy Steve Moody with me this morning. And if he's out of shock yet, Steve, I guess you stayed up and watched the game last night.
Well, of course, I had to, was working all through the night, so I was definitely up, and I'm surprised that you had to stay up way past your bedtime last night.
I hate to admit it, but I was in bed by 9:30, and I can't stay up that late. You know, I get up at 4:30, and I'm too old anyway. So, well, that was a good. First thing I did this morning was turn on the computer, and I couldn't to see how much they got beat by, and I went into shock. I'll tell you that it was. But that was great. I wish I had seen it. But
it'll be on. I'm sure it'll be on CBS College. I don't know if you get CBS College on your cable or satellite, but
we do.
Jackie
says we do. We've got Dish Network. That we live out in the country, you know. So yeah.
Well, they've already shown it once today. I watched it this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning. So I'm sure it'll be on there again today.
Did they win it again?
They did. They did win it again.
Okay, I like those kind. You can sit down, relax, have a beer, and don't have to worry about it. I just do on a double check. Well, who's going to win the big one down there today?
Well, of course, the big one, as you're referring to, is the Vinery Spiral Stakes, and this race it's a Grade 3 this year, a mile and an eighth for 3-year-olds. They drew a field of 12. There's been a late scratch this morning, though, of the 8-horse, King Kongi, who had was coming in with had won 3 in a row on the grass for Tom Albertrani, but has been scratched. Had a problem, I think, with the hind leg muscle strain. And so it looks like we're going to have a field of 11 go. Horse to beat in here, I guess, you have to the Yet Thinks is the two-horse positive response. This horse shipped in from Northern California 3 weeks ago was, I thought, extremely impressive, winning the Battaglia Memorial. Went to the front in there and set a nice pace, and just when the horses came to him a little bit ahead of the lane, he just drew away from them. Won about as easy as you could win. I think he's going to be very tough in there. The four horse Animal Kingdom, another one that I think you have to watch. Pretty lightly raced colt, but he can handle. He's shown he can handle any kind of a surface, and he broke his maiden on the poly track at Keeneland. Then he went over and tried dirt. Just did get beat in there as his first start of the year, and I think he'll move. I think he'll move forward off of that. Has a big got a big chance here today. Of course, that's, I don't know if you're probably old enough to remember Ursula Animal Kingdom. That's one of my favorite shows on TV, and if you remember that with Marlon Perkins and Jim Fowler. And the spoof they used to do them with on Saturday Night Live, where they'd say, Marlon would say, "Well, while Jim is out wrestling the crocodile, I'll be back at camp mixing up a batch of margaritas."
No, I don't remember that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and couple others I think you got to look in here. The 10 horse, Decisive Moment. He's got some early foot. I expect him to be out up close in the early part of it. I think he could certainly hang on and grab part of it today. The horse that scratched was another one I think he had to look at, but obviously he's not going to go now. So that helps out that helps the favorite out a little bit with him out of there. But when it's all said and done. I was just real impressed with the way Positive Response handled things. He came in here. He won that race so easily that I think he could come right back and make it two in a row. So we're going to take him right back today. We'll go 2, 4, and 10 in the spiral.
Yeah, Positive. He's by that Pomeroy. Was stands down in Vinery, Florida. That's the first crop by that horse. So, anyway. Well, what about North Carolina?
Well, that's it's going to be a tough game. You know, we, of course, obviously played them back at the start of the year in early December and lost by two down in Chapel Hill. I think we're a better team since then, but so are they. They've had some personnel changes and... the one guy left the team, I think, was kind of causing them some chemistry problems, and the guy that they've got to replace him, they've really turned the team around. They had already lost three games by the time we played them, and I think they've only lost three or maybe four since that time. So they're playing awfully well, and they got size, a lot more size than Ohio State. And obviously they play at a much faster pace than Ohio State. So it'll be a challenge. I'm hoping that the one thing going for them is the last two times that we played North Carolina to go to the Final Four, I was there and we lost both times. So I won't be there tomorrow. So maybe by being home watching it, maybe that'll change our luck.
Yeah. What time does that game come on tomorrow?
5:05.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our finger. I think I could stay up for that one.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you ought to go to bed just like you did last night.
Well, okay. He wants me to go to bed like I did last night. All right. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much.
And
we'll be talking to you. Well, Invisor won the Grade 1 Dubai World Cup in 2007, and his only other start that year, he won the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream. And as a result, he was not only earned the Eclipse Award as champion older male, but at the time of his retirement, he was ranked number one in the world. And this followed a year in which he had earned an Eclipse Award as Horse of the Year in the USA and had been ranked number one in the world after he'd won the Grade One Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade One Whitney, the Grade One Suburban, the Grade One Pimlico Special. As a three-year-old, the prior year, he was Horse of the Year in his native South America. He'd won his only start as a two-year-old. So Invisor never tasted defeat in either North America or in South America. He won two of the world's most prestigious stakes races, the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup, and he won an unprecedented six consecutive Grade One stakes to retire with earnings of $7,804,070. Sired by the highly successful Candy Stripes and from a female family loaded with Grade One winners, Invisor stands for $20,000 live foal, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Well, I want to say something nice about my neighbor. It's always nice when you've got good neighbors.
It is.
Yeah. Jim Fitzgerald is one of our neighbors over on Knock Griffin Farm. Actually, he's on 460, and we're on Clay Kaiser, but we can see the back of his farm from the back of our farm.
And he's got a farm on the other side, so we're kind of surrounded.
Kind of surrounded, yeah. Harper's Island. It's yes. Over on 27.
27, yeah. Santana Road from Ferris.
Yeah. A great boarding facility. So if you're looking for a great place to board your horse, there you are. Just call Jim Fitzgerald. He can do your sales preps or your layups. He's got a lifetime experience in the game. He has nothing but first-class superior help. He's a hands-on horseman himself. He's got a sound, can give you a lot of sound, common sense advice if you're in the business or if you're thinking about getting into the business. And he's somebody you can trust. And you can't ask for any more than that. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. Not only that, he's just a nice guy. Fun to know. Here's his phone number, 987-8032, and here's his website. It's knockgriffin.com. That's KNOCKGRIFFIN, knockgriffin.com. So give old Jim a call over there, and he'll take care of you. Well, last Sunday at Santa Anita, Miley Offensive, a 3-0 filly in the first crop by Sharp Humor, bred by Windstar Farm, won the $100,000 Santa Paula Stakes. Now, Miley Offensive is two for two. She won her first start by 4.5 lengths, 6 furlongs, and 108-1 in the Santa Paula by 4.5 lengths, getting 6.5 furlongs and 115-3. One of five stakes winners from Sharp Humor's first crop. Now, he was a leading sire of 2-year-old winners in 2010 with 25, and six others from that first crop have placed in stakes. That's 11 stakes horses in his first crop. Now, ranked with Sharp Humor among the leading freshman sires last year was his stablemate at Windstar Farm, Bluegrass Cat. That said, watch for the first crop yearlings by Spring at Last. It's because when one enters the sales ring, keep in mind that he covered more than 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud, and that he stands at Windstar Farm. And that's a farm noted for standing successful sires. Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Sprightstown, Tisnow. Spring at Last won a Grade 1 Don, went abroad to win a Grade 2 $1 million Godolphin Mile. He sprinted a mile and won 33-2. He was never beaten at a mile. Earned over $1,139,000. He's the leading money-winning son of Silver Deputy. And he's out of a Dynaformer mare that produced two millionaires. Spring at Last, $7,500 due in a full stands and nurses with a 10% discount if you pay that fee by November 1 of the year bred. Inquiries with Robert Hammond, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I've got a little time to do a little bit of history, Jackie, can I?
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about a two-year-old of 1957 and... How much time? I don't have a whole lot of time, so I'll do the short one. I got Misty Flight to do, and I got Kentucky Pride. I'll talk about Kentucky Pride.
All right.
Is that all right?
Sorry.
You got a bunch of announcements over there, have you?
Not a tremendous amount, but I have some.
Yeah, okay.
I'll talk fast.
You can talk slow.
I kind of talk slow.
Well, Kentucky anyway. Pride was a dark bay colt. He was by Bully out of Blue Delight, who was Blue Delight was a great race mare. She was by Blue Larkspur, and Kentucky Pride was bred and owned by Calumet Farm, was trained by Jimmy Jones. He was the highest ranked non-stakes winner on the experimental handicap that year for two-year-olds of 1957 at 121 pounds. He was a full brother to Real Delight, all blue and bubbly, and a half brother to Princess Turia. Princess, they were all by, of course, like he was, Bo Lee. Princess Turia was by Heliopolis, and Turk's Delight, and I'm trying to think what he was by, but I think he was by Alibi. I wouldn't bet the farm on it. And then we're out of the high class race mares, I said, Blue Delight. Kentucky Pride made only two starts as a 2-year-old. Broke his maiden by 5.5 lengths at Arlington Park. Then he ran back at Washington Park, which, of course, is no longer with us. It was over at Homewood, which is that would be in the southwestern part of Chicago, Homewood. Anyway, close to, is it Cicero that's right there? I know anyway. They always said there was a lot of the mafia around there anyway. But I was there, last time I was there was in 1956 at Washington Park. Now, I've got that out of the way. I can go back to Kentucky Pride. Jones took him east to Garden State after his first two starts. He was going to run him in the Garden State Stakes, but he had developed a breathing problem. So he put him away for the winter. But the horse ended up winning 13 races, including Royal Ponciana down at Hialeah. But he never really recovered from that wind problem. They had to keep sprinting him. He was their Derby candidate favorite that year. Of course, they ended up winning the Derby anyway with Iron Liege. They had Iron Liege, Iron Liege General Duke, who was probably the best of them all, might have been the best of the crop. He died prior to the Derby. He was a wobbler. And Kentucky Pride were all that from first crop, from all of them by Bull Lee, I believe. Let's see. Yeah. He went to stud, and he was a very useful kind of sire. I bought a yearling by him one time, and bought him for $3,000, sold him for $13,000, went $144,000, which is the story of my life. But since Bull Lee, as everybody knows by now, it's remarkable. He was such a great sire, and he just never really did much of anything. Citation, I guess, was his best. Of course, he was his best son, absolutely, probably one of the top five. Well, he would be one of the top five racehorses of all time, or at least of the 20th century. But he didn't sire but 12 stakes winners. He did sire one champion. That was a Silver Spoon champion filly that raced for Mr. C.V. Whitney. And she'd won the Santa Anita Derby and came to the Kentucky Derby and ran fifth. But she went on to be the champion filly of that year. He sired Fabius, who won the Preakness that year. And that was the year, what year was that? That was in 1947. And he was also the sire of Beyond, a filly that won the Acorn Stakes, one of the filly classics. Bo Max, who stood, he was unraced. He stood down at King Ranch. He was a half-brother to, I'm pretty sure, to Better Self. Better Self was by Blenheim. He sired some runners. He sired, Salazzo was a leading sire down in Argentina, and he'd won some stakes out in California. He sired a real tough old gilly named Hal Now. I saw him run, and he was always on the board. Golden Notes was a good racehorse. Margareta was a top filly. But I guess his main claim to fame was he was the broodmare sire of Gallant Bloom, who was a champion 3-year-old filly of her year. In fact, she was undefeated as a 3-year-old. She was by Gallant Man. Bull Page was by Bull Lee. And he went to stud up in Canada. He sired winner of the Queen's Plate in New Providence, and some 19 stakes winners he sired. But his main claim to fame was the broodmare sire of Stormbird. And Hill Gale, of course, he went to France. He sired 9 stakes winners. His best stakes winner was Marshall, who won the 2,000 guineas in England. And DeGage, who stood over in Virginia, and he sired Umbrella Fella, who won the Breeders' Futurity out of Keeneland and won the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill. And he sired Vital Force, who won Keeneland's Lafayette Stakes and some other stakes races. And he was a decent kind of a sire, but those were the best. So it's kind of remarkable that he didn't do better as a sire of sire of Citation, because he was certainly a great racehorse himself. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes was won by Malibu Pier, a four-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, a homebred. Malibu Pier ran second in Grade 1 Stakes in 2010. She carried the silks, incidentally, of Mr. B. Wayne Hughes, Spencery Farm, to become the 50th stakes winner by Spencery Farm stallion Malibu Moon, who climbed to number 3 on the North American sire list last year. Also standing at Spendthrift was the greatest stakes winner, Temple City, a close relative of Malibu Moon. Also bred by Mr. Hughes, Temple City is out of the Danzig Mare curriculum, a half-sister to Malibu Moon, the Group 1 stakes winner, Macumba. She's by Mr. Prospector. Now, the fact that Temple City is by Dinah Farmer, who was ranked among the top 20 on the sire list 11 times, and you've got a great sire pedigree. Now, Temple City won his first start by 6 1/4 lengths, getting 6 furlongs and 1:15-1. Sprinted a mile 1:34. Set a new track record in the Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap. He was second by head in Grade 1 stakes, by head in Grade 2 stakes, was beaten less than a length in yet another Grade 2 stakes. So here you have a graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performer with a great sire pedigree, standing at first season stud for $5,000, doing a full stanza and nurses. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffey over at Spendthrift Farm. And the number over there is 2940030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Alrighty, Jackie, we're back with you. If you want to do those announcements, you want me to? Well, no, go ahead.
What?
I was going to plug our winners out of here, but I'm going to do that right at the end of the show because we've had so many of them.
Okay.
From the Thoroughbred Center.
Right. Like we've talked about, the National Horse Association big time show since 1883 left New York and went somewhere up east and lost a lot of its. Well, anyway, they're coming here. They're coming to the Horse Park, November. The reason I say it is they are going to include this year jumper divisions. I guess they dropped those years ago. I don't know. Didn't know that much about it except that it was the McClay Finals, which was the top junior rider award. And interestingly, William Steinkraus, George Morris, Mike Plum. Now, these people rode in the 50s, but they're the ones that sort of shaped horse shows back then. And George Morris, for sure, shaped how people ride, among others. Let's see. Let me go back. Everybody's out of colostrum. So if you can send some colostrum, Rude and Rattle Haggards and Woodford Bet. Now, today at the Horse Park Mid-South Games, that's Pony Club. You got a crazy horse, crazy little girl. Take her out there, let them see what that's all about. Paul Frazier shows out there. That benefits the CKRH. I'm sorry the warm weather didn't last. March 28th and 30th is indoor polo. And March 31st begins the Bluegrass Classic Arabian Show. That runs through April 3rd. So if you like Arabs and all that fancy tack and filmy costumes or whatever that stuff is, go on out there. things are opening up. Like I said, the Bluegrass Classic Arabian Show runs through April the 3rd. Rolex is April 28th through May 1st. And the people that adopted my former racehorse, she found a very young little girl up in Michigan, are coming down. So I'm going to be sure to go out there and meet them. That's pretty cool. That little filly got lucky. Intercollegiate Horse Show National Championship, May 5 through 8, and, of course, High Hope Steeplechase is May 22nd. It's always the day after Preakness, if you're not going to the Preakness. This is a nice one. Kentucky Equine Humane Center's got a nice 14-hand trail horse. She's a quarter horse. She's a chestnut mare. She's 10, and she just looks like a packer. Somebody had to give her up when they, I guess, the economic downturn. I don't know, but if you're looking for a nice quarter horse, kyehc.org. And the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation is giving an allocation of $841,000 plus for 9 research projects this year. They do vet research for horse health. So from 1983 to now, that's $18-plus million. Kentucky Equine Humane Center All-Breed Charity Horse Show will be Sunday, May 8th at Valley High Show Stable in Versailles. That's Joyce Brinsfield's place. You go down Kentucky, the Bluegrass Parkway, get off the first exit, turn left, get to the fork in the road, turn left, and it's right down there. You can't miss it. Let's see, we did that. Dixiana is having viewing 16 two-year-olds go through their paces every Monday, hopefully quickly. 10 o'clock, April 1st through June 30th. They're on sale. You can go out there and check it out. Want more information? 293-5951. Okay. Mr. Ted Bassett is going to be the speaker at the Distinguished Industry Lecture Series. This will be March 31st. At 6 o'clock at the Gluck Equine Research Center Auditorium. Dan Liebman's going to moderate a question and answer session with Mr. Bassett. Very nice. 31st is what day? Is that Tuesday or Wednesday? Let's see.
I don't know. I have to look at the calendar.
I think it might even be Thursday. I don't know. But anyway, it's the 31st. Cross-country schooling and the Hunter Jumper Show for Masterson Equestrian Trust is, of course, at Masterson, April 16th, the Hunter Show. April 17th is the Jumper Show and Cross Country Schooling. CKRH is looking for horses. If you've got anything you think might be quiet enough and sound enough and sensible enough to carry around handicapped people, that'd be a good place for them to go. They take great care of them, of course. Kentucky Horse Park Foundation Cross Country Schooling Days, where you actually get to ride around out there without being in some show or something. Sunday, May 15th is the first.
Well, let's see. Here at the Thoroughbred Center, during the month of March, if I'd say it, we have had 46 winners saddled by trainers from out here. And since last week's show, Sherman Mitchell saddled one down at the Mountain. Floyd Cobb had one at Mountaineer. David Atkins saddled one at Turfway. Steve Casey saddled, here's one I like the name, Nasty Girl Blues, one down at Turfway. Amelia Foyon.
That's terrible.
Turfway. You'll have to take that up with Steve Casey. That's his. Brenda Hill, Tommy Short, Oscar Modica, Jimmy Cargan, Kathleen Huff, Mike Cameron, William F. Hamilton, Tommy Short, and Brown Michael. Having a good time. I want to thank Josh down at the studio. Josh, thank you. Did a good job. Appreciate it. I want to thank Ressie here. Go ahead, Jackie.
This will be up on UrsoEllis.com. Thanks to Sean Dameron. Computer guy.
Okay.
Sometime today or tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.